This is the program,
Faith Matters.
In this program, we'll discuss
blindness and other issues as they relate to God.
And we'll also take a look at many other life issues as well. Being blind ourselves,
we know
faith matters.
Good to be with you again for another edition of Faith Matters. Hi, Pastor Dave.
Hello, Cecilia. Good to be here.
Pastor, that song we just sang is a very good song for Holy Thursday or Good Friday, is it not?
It really is. It speaks about the events that happen on that Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm. And the fourth verse, I notice the solo that you did said, "He lives, forgives. He gives me his own righteousness."
Mm-hmm.
That just about sums up what Holy Thursday is all about.
It is, and it's the culmination of the Christian faith that sometimes we lose track of because of so many things.
So please summarize for us, Pastor, just exactly what Holy Thursday is all about, and then we'll talk more about this idea of forgiveness.
Sure. That first Thursday where Jesus was with his disciples, several things took place. It was the culmination of a week. He had been in Jerusalem for about 5 days, talking to the people, talking at the temple. And during that time, the Pharisees were getting absolutely enraged because of the things he was saying.
And the Pharisees were like a group of
religious
leaders.
Right.
Religious
right.
people.
And then the priests, who were the religious teachers at the temple, were also very angry and frustrated at him.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them were very nervous as the Roman soldiers and the occupying force were looking over their shoulders. Many people thought Jesus was going to be the king come to throw the Romans out.
And many wanted that to happen.
Oh, yes, they did, because the Romans, they had a very heavy hand in maintaining control. And the religious leaders and the Pharisees and the priests were willing to work with them so that they could keep the little bit of control they had. And so when they saw Jesus doing what he was doing and the crowds being excited, they were nervous that the Romans would come in and shut everything down.
Mm.
And so they were willing to hand him over and get rid of him so they could maintain the little bit of control they had. It was one of the disciples who actually gave them the opening, Judas, and said, "I'll tell you which one it is. We often go to the Mount of Olives. I'll kiss the one who is Jesus." And they wanted to do it separately, quietly, because there's no way they could take Jesus from the middle of the crowd.
Mm.
Then there would be a riot. They needed to catch him offside, have a trial real quickly, and give religious reasons for his guiltiness that they could hand him over to the Romans then for execution. And that's the plan that implemented Thursday night and into Friday.
Those religious reasons would also help to convince the crowd that he was not the good person he seemed to be.
That's right. That's right.
Mm.
And they had to find and trump up charges, and they were able to do it, but mostly it was a manipulation and an abuse and injustice.
And lies.
And lies. That's right.
So he is taken and tried, and it's a mock mm-hmm. trial, basically.
Mm-hmm. It was.
betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Denied by Peter. The rest of the disciples mm-hmm. have scattered,
mm-hmm.
and now he's sent to be crucified on the cross and mm-hmm. is nailed onto the cross. And that's where the idea of forgiveness comes back into this whole thing.
One of the words Jesus said on the cross is, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
That's part of what I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who live in the United States, and perhaps some of you who watch the news, might know of the woman who drowned all five of her children just a few the trial ended just a few weeks ago. And she tried, her defense tried to plead that she didn't know what she was doing, and that she didn't know that what she was doing was wrong, that she was insane. And the jury did not believe it, and thus they found her guilty.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is, how can they say that she didn't know what she was doing?
Hmm. It's a difficult thing when it comes to kids, especially little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart goes out, oh gosh, and you love them, and they make you laugh, and they make you enjoy life. And then on the other end, when you feel so trapped and frustrated and you don't know where to turn and which end, and they come screaming again and they've woken you up for the third time at night. It's a little bit of both. And it was a very tough thing that they did. But with Jesus, his comments were a little bit different.
How so?
When he spoke about, first the words were to the priests and the Pharisees, they didn't realize and they didn't know that they were part of redemption, the redemption process. If they hadn't done what they did, we wouldn't have a redeemer. It was needed that Jesus be mocked in trial, in a false trial with lies and ridicule. And so he wanted to forgive them. Because they didn't know what they were doing, that they were playing part of our salvation. But also the words come to you and to me and to all you listeners, because we didn't know either that all of our lies, all of our frustrations, angers that are misused and abused and hurtful things to people, minor or big, they all help to nail Jesus to the cross. And he says, forgive them.
Every small sin, every quote, white lie, every tiny thing that I do wrong,
mm-hmm.
every bit of hatred that I feel is what nailed Christ to the cross.
Yes. And what we know that he did forgive us because the next words then were, it is finished. Now, it's in English, it is finished. In Greek, it's just one word, tetelestai. It's an interesting word. Back in Jesus' day, the way the word tetelestai was used. Today, if you buy a house on payments or a car or whatever, when you finally have paid it all up, they usually write at the bottom, paid in full.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. And then hand you that receipt so that you have verification that it was paid in full. Well, that's how they used the word tetelestai in Jesus' day. It is finished. When a bill was paid up, they wrote tetelestai. It is finished. And so when he said from the cross, tetelestai, he was referring to our sins, paid in full. It is finished.
Nothing more needs to be done.
Right. And his last words then were, Father, into your hands I commend my soul.
In other words, I'm leaving it all with you now.
Yes.
It's easy to say very casually, God forgives, and then skim past that.
Mm-hmm. Forgiveness can be a hard thing sometimes. Can I relate two stories that happened this past weekend?
Oh, sure.
It helped me to understand a little bit more about forgiveness. And one is dealing with my 6-year-old daughter, Tori, and the other is with my wife. It was Saturday morning, 10:30. Tori has dance lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And they got up, I think they woke up at 7:30. And I said, hey, girls, I'll let you watch some TV while you eat breakfast. Oh, now that's a treat.
Uh-huh.
And so, oh, really? And I said, yeah, but we do need to take a bath. And maybe we'll have a little bit more time after the bath to watch some more TV. Okay, so we turned on the TV, watched the movie, and Tori said, and we got to do a bath, Dad. Yeah, we have to do it. I promise we can watch a little bit more TV after the bath, okay, before we go to dance class. Okay, Dad. And I was thinking I'd turn the TV off at 8:45. Well, it was about 9 o'clock. Got a little late. And I got them into the bath. And if you have two kids, if you've ever experienced a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old who happen to be sisters.
Be interesting.
Oh, boy. What I thought would be 40 minutes in the bathtub ended up to be an hour.
Oops.
By the time I got them out and dried. And then Deb came along to help put their clothes on. We got their hair brushed. It was 10:20 and it was time to go. And I said, girls, we got to go. But, Dad, you promised. I said, we got to go. Dance class. Dad. And she just started breaking down and just crying uncontrollably.
Oh.
And at that point, I just looked at Deb and I said, take over. And it's something that Deb and I know that when one of us tries and we can't get anywhere, we usually, because Deb wasn't doing anything. I was doing the baths and when she was off running some errands.
She was the neutral party in this.
That's right. That's right. And so she came in as the neutral party to try to take over. And I walked away to the other room praying and hoping she could straighten this out. And I kept walking back to the living room doorway and standing there. And she finally said, Dave, get away. And I realized this is more of a mess. So I went to go clean the bathrooms.
Oh.
And as I started cleaning, I thought, you know, maybe it would help her. She kept saying, I promise. I went back, sat down next to her, put my hand on her and said, Tori, I'm sorry. I apologize. I did say we could watch movies, but it got a little late. So will you please forgive me? And through the tears, she right away said, I forgive you, Dad.
How did you feel at that point when you went to sit down with Tori? Did you feel like you needed forgiveness?
No, I didn't feel like I needed forgiveness. Anything, I was rather frustrated at her that she was stalling and delaying, and it was her fault.
And you were late.
And if we don't get there, she misses dance class, we waste money, and blah, blah, blah. And just
so you were, it might be said that you were a little angry at the time.
Well, on the edge.
Frustrated, annoyed.
Certainly frustrated. And so I went and I figured, okay, let's see if that'll help and give Deb some time.
So why did you say, will you forgive me? Did you really mean that at the time?
Well, I did. I did mean, you know, please forgive me. I did say those words and you were thinking one thing, I was meaning another and blah, blah, blah. And okay, maybe it'll help her. And I was thinking more that than anything,
mm-hmm.
than me. And I felt justified in everything that I did. But then I went back and started cleaning the toilet. And I was cleaning the toilet, and I thought, you know, she really made a point there. Because she had forgiven me, my anger was starting to subside in her, that I was controlling. I didn't let it out, but that was going to the side, and I was trying to look at it from her eyes. And I really did. I promised. I made a promise. And she was banking on that. She was counting on that. And I let her down. I let her down. So I finished cleaning the toilet. And then I noticed while I was doing that, Deb had carried her into her bedroom, still sobbing. And I said, is she in her bedroom? And Deb said, yeah. And I said, I'm going to go talk to her. And she started saying, Deb, but... And I said, don't worry, Deb. And I walked in, I sat down on the bed, and I just picked her up and I held her in my arms. And I said, Tori, I did a boo-boo. You're right. I promised. And you were really counting on that, huh? Well, I apologize. Like I said before, I was sorry that it happened. Would it help you if we watch a little bit of TV? How about 10 minutes? And then we'll go to dance class. Should I carry you in? So I carried her in, set her down, turned back on the TV, and went back and cleaned the sink.
Okay.
And when I was done cleaning the sink, that was a form of therapy, by the way. We'll get to that in a minute. For me, when I was done cleaning the sink, came out and said, well, Deb, what do you think? And when 10 minutes up, should we go? Yeah! And she went dancing and skipping to the car.
So everything worked out okay.
Yeah. When I looked back on that, I realized her forgiving me released my anger and frustration that was hiding something deeper. I didn't realize. I thought I went in just to help her so that she would hear the words, I'm sorry, please forgive me.
Almost to humor her in some ways.
In a way. But when she did forgive me, it let a lot of things go so that I could see down deeper. I'd really made a promise. She was counting on that, and I was letting her down.
Mm.
And I would have never, ever seen that if she hadn't forgiven me. Her forgiving me released something so I could see something in me. And then I needed to ask for her forgiveness as well.
Pastor, your story reminds me of how many times blind people have been betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Their trust... maybe some of you have wanted to be a part of a church or another group, and some member of the congregation has said, oh, I'll help you. I'll take you to church every week, and maybe we'll do something after church, and I'll help you read your mail, and I'll help you to do that. They've made promises that they haven't kept.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine, because I've been there, that you, the listener, might be feeling some anger and some betrayal, just as Tori was.
Mm-hmm.
And working through that is part of why we are here. And not making it all better by a pat solution, but simply being there to listen and to understand.
Yeah. I mentioned there were two stories. Let's move on to the other one.
Okay.
This one was interesting. This is more of the practicality. How do you deal with that anger? How do you forgive? Because I've heard some people say, forgiveness means you forget.
Yes, I've heard that too.
I don't know. You, as we were talking and getting ready for this show, you reminded me of one time that I had done something. I'd said, not a derogatory comment, but a comment in the presence of other people that should have been done in private regarding a report that you didn't quite have done.
Yes.
And you rightly called me about that later. And said, that really upset me. And you told me this, and that was months ago. So you haven't forgotten it.
No. I'm not angry with you about it anymore, obviously.
Uh-huh,
I mean,
it.
The minute I made you aware of what happened, and I did it as much for your good as for mine, because I knew that you simply hadn't seen it, and I knew that you would have wanted me to tell you about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose to share with you my... Hey, I didn't quite like this. You immediately apologized. And it made us even closer than we were before, just as I'm sure your talk with Tori made you closer than you ever were before.
Much. And so forgiveness isn't forgetting, not forgetting the episode. My wife, I tend to forget When something's done, I forget. No, my wife, if she were here, she'd say I forget lots of things. And that, or I don't hear them to begin with. But that's another story of a husband and a wife. But my dad forgets things, too. It's just something we as Andruses do. We move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember what was said or what was done this weekend. But I was so mad at her. I was enraged and angry. And because I've been married for 21 years, I know not only her, but I know myself. I immediately removed myself from her. I took some time away, and I think I spent it with Tori, or did I even go into my study? But I wasn't with her until I could get a hold of my emotions. Because if I would have said or done something in her presence then, I would have lashed out from those emotions.
Ooh.
And that means usually when that happens, people feel those emotions and they get defensive. I'm a Star Trek fan, so I always say, put up the screen,
the shields,
and you defend yourself when you're attacked.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common thing people do. Well, you don't have good communication when the shields are up.
No.
And so I've learned if I'm going to, instead of firing the phasers, I retreat. Calm down and get in control of my emotions so that when I do talk and say things to her, it's coming from my intellect or my desire to do what's best to help her rather than the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it took about an hour. And then I went to her and I said, do you know what you did kind of hurt me? Oh, it did? Yeah, and here's why. And she said, oh, please forgive me. And I said, oh, I already have. I talked with her then just simply so she could know.
Again, for her good as much as for your good.
Yes, yes. What's interesting then is later on, we picked up the story about 3 hours later when I think the kids were in bed. And I said, thanks for understanding me and letting me get away. And she said, oh, I knew that you were angry, but I know to leave you alone. And I know that you'll come back because you love me. And what she meant by love there was not emotions, but a commitment to help and serve her. And she said, I just let you be because I knew in time you would deal with it and come back. I said, what do you do when you're angry at me? She said, oh, I was angry at you then too. And when I'm angry, she said, I usually approach you immediately. I need to deal with my emotions before putting them away. I have to tell the person my emotions, and then as I'm telling you, I'm putting my emotions away, I forgive you. It's almost like convincing myself, that's what she said, that I forgive you. And then I work on letting the emotions go away. Now,
you said when we were talking about this before that she actually has to speak the words and forgive you.
Yes.
So do you mean that she hadn't really forgiven you when she'd spoken those words?
That is correct.
Ooh, isn't that a lie?
No. That as she says the words, I forgive you, that is what she's doing at that moment.
In the process she's working through.
Yes. So now, in the long run of the day, forgiveness happens. And see, that's not a black and white thing. It's a process.
So it's a process and a result?
Yes. And sometimes it flip-flops for people.
Hmm.
And that's one of the things I wanted to bring out, that forgiveness, in my mind, seems to be dealing more with what do we do with the emotions? Are we going to act and respond from the hurt emotions or not? And how we get to that point, each of us is different. So there's no pat answer of how to forgive other than learning yourself and then doing it.
Forgiveness is not easy, Pastor. The stories that you've told, you got rid of the anger in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it takes days, weeks, even years.
Mm.
How can we deal with it then?
I'm one who tries to create pictures in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing with as a little boy with these little horses that were 3 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And along with the horses came a fence.
Uh-huh.
And you make the fence was about 6 inches long each section, and you can make a corral then for the horses in. Well, I picture in my mind a corral, and I say emotions of anger and resentment, you live here. And especially if I'm, for example, say you did something.
Mm-hmm.
You ridiculed me in front of somebody, so I'm very angry at you and I resent you. When I'm with you, when those emotions come, I say, get behind this corral. And I try very hard to make that corral smaller and smaller and push it to the back of my mind so that I'm, and I literally took my hands and pushed them way off to the side of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that in my mind so that I relate with you, even though I feel resentment towards you, I'm working out of what is best to help you and to help our relationship or the situation. I'm not going for my feelings.
You're putting those emotions inside that box or that
right.
corral so that they
right.
cannot affect or cannot hurt either one of us.
That's right. Either one of us. That's right. That's right. And you can't keep them in there permanently.
No.
You're right. I try to control when I let it out. And let's just pretend, and I'm not, but
mm-hmm.
pretend you did do that, and I have anger and resentment as we're talking here, blah, blah, blah. They're in the corral. Now, when we part and go away, that's usually when I'll let them out. And you know what I do with them and where I let them?
Where's that?
To God. God, she makes me so angry. Why did she And I let God have all the emotion. Because you know why? He's big enough to take it. And that's what David did in the Psalms. A lot of the Psalms. Why, oh God, oh why do the wicked prosper and I suffer and languish?
Mm.
And if you look at those Psalms, he always ends, but I trust in you, oh God.
It's all in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously these emotions are put behind that fence after or either after you've explained or helped me to understand what goes on,
mm-hmm.
or until you feel like you can help me to understand.
Mm-hmm.
These emotions are not buried or not hidden away.
That's right.
They're simply kept back until such time as they can be dealt with. And then after that, so that they cannot come and hurt us again.
Yes. And in the perfect situation, would be that I could come to you and say, Cecilia, you just burned me because you hurt me when you said that. Do you understand how I feel? And you're not defensive, but you can say,
oh, I messed up. I'm sorry.
And you can listen, and I can speak those emotions to you, and you can acknowledge it. And that, in a sense, then, through communication, you're putting healing salve on the wound. Now, sometimes we can't do that together, and so it has to take time apart. But in an ideal situation, and I've done this with my wife, said, Deb, we need to talk, and I've got some hurt. May I share it without being defensive? And that's the cue that we've learned to say to each other, I'm only expressing the emotions. I'm not lashing out at you. And that's when we've been able to hold and caress each other and say, I'm sorry. I love you. I forgive you. Let's move on. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them. It is finished.
And he is now able to hold us and caress us and mm-hmm. love us. He even knew before he went on the cross, one of you is going to betray me. And Peter, mm-hmm. you're going to deny me not once, but three times. But after you do, and when you come back, I still love you and I still need you.
That's right. And when we see it all in the perspective of God, that's why faith really matters here.
Yes.
It puts it in the broader context. We realize what, Cecilia, you may have done to me, that's squat compared to what I've done to God. And I'm pointing up because I've kicked him. I spit in his face. I've laughed. I've ridiculed him. He forgave me. Gosh, if God did all of that, this one little thing, I can let go because he's done so much for me.
Absolutely amazing.
We'd like to hear from you. We're sure that there's some hurt, some sadness, some sorrow. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you can share with us some stories. Give us a call, 314-776-3694.
Or you can write to us at faithm@acbradio.org. We'd like to talk with you. We'd like to share with you. If you like, we can share some of your thoughts on the air, but we can always keep your name anonymous.
The one thing that is not anonymous is
faith matters.